You can be turning this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. I'm not going to have the opportunity to preach at the men on Father's Day. So I decided that I'm going to get jump on that and do that this morning. The men in the prayer room mentioned that why is it, Pastor, that you preach these lovely, flowery, encouraging messages for Mother's Day, but with the men, you come down on them, telling them what they need to do and what they ought to be. And, well, we need it, guys. We need that. We need to be challenged. But let's stand together, please. We'll read just two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Where Paul writing, and he makes this challenge. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." Father, we love you. We thank you for your word to us today. And Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name, please, Lord, meet with us. We don't want to take anything for granted, but you've promised, Lord, to meet with us as where two or three are gathered together in your name. But Lord, we need your spirit. We need your presence and power to deal with every heart, every life. Father, thank you for this congregation that you've brought together on this day at this time. Father, we believe that you make divine appointments. We're not here by accident, but by your orchestration. And so, Father, I'm asking you, give the pastor, give the preacher illumination. Give him liberty of lip to be able to declare that exact message that you would order for us in this place today. And I don't know, Father, that there may well be someone in our midst, maybe some, that are here yet today without Christ. Oh God, please use your word. Speak to hearts. Might we recognize whatever our need might be today. We ask it in Jesus' name. And for his glory, amen and amen. And of course, you may be seated. In today's society, and you know when I say those words, you know where we're headed. Today's society, there's some real confusion, isn't there? Confusion in so many ways as to even our roles and our functions as men and women. Yes, and around here we still believe there's men and women. Society is trying to teach us, convince us, or maybe brainwash us to be, I don't know what the right term, politically correct or else now. You will be politically correct or else. They're even telling us exactly how we are to think in these days. Well, have you noticed how those who have a biblical belief system are now characterized by the news and, of course, the entertainment media? Maybe the two are about the same now. As having something dangerously wrong with them. You know, those Bible people, they're dangerous. Of course, that's the message of the day, to set us apart and to put us in that kind of light. And that's especially true if you stand for what that Bible says. If you hold to biblical values. And we don't make any apology for this, but we as conservative, Bible-believing Christians, we're often the ones that are accused of being of stereotyping men and women into particular roles. Well, the only role I'm concerned about is the role that God has, the role that God declares. We are charged with being unwilling to accept reality. That's especially true if you have those biblical values. Dear ones, we need to simply stand for the Word of God, stand for what the Bible says, what its truth declares, and let the chips fall where they may. And accept that. Those same people who criticize Christians are those who are doing their best to turn upside down those traditional values and those principles, not just for you, but for your family. They want men to be... They want men to become the effeminate little creatures that they would see them as. And our ladies, well, our ladies are so confused in these days by the message they're receiving that they don't know what they should be or believe. These same folks ignore biology. I can remember this, Ricky, believe it or not. It's been a couple years ago. But I remember biology class. Do you remember that such things? They actually taught you science in the olden days. But they want men to be some effeminate little thing. And we need men, we need to learn what it means to be a man. Title of this morning's message is Being a Man of God. And we're not talking about simply preachers. We're talking about being men of God. Now, understand, the other side of the coin as well, that tough macho man image, is also a perversion of the biblical model, the real thing. In my mind, you realize... Now, guys, you realize, and ladies, you can listen. You realize that women just think they like the strong, silent type. They think they like that type because they believe that because a man's quiet, he's listening to them. Amen. What is a real man? What is a real man? What does it mean to be God's kind of man? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. And that's what I need to know. Now, of course, what we need then is a biblical description. We need to be the men that God would have us to be. We need God-loving, God-honoring, God-obeying men that will lead their homes in God's truth. Men, we need to give our... Now listen, we need to give our wives something worthy, or worth maybe be a better way of saying it, following. And ladies, yeah, I encourage you to seek out what this Bible says about following your husband's leadership. Now again, listen, men, I didn't say dictatorship. A husband is not a dictator. He's to be a leader. And that's what we want to learn. Now, for the most part, the things we're going to look at today will deal with a Bible. And in going through my message over the last couple days, and you know, you come up with what you believe God wants, and then I start looking at it, and I think there's no way I can get this preached. So then I go back and I'm editing. And this ends up on the office floor and that on the office floor. So we're going to look at a lot of scripture because I want you to hear what the Bible says. I may not do a whole lot of commenting on what we read today. And I know you understand that's very difficult for a preacher. I want you to hear what God says. And we're going to be looking at several subjects. Like bullet points, if you will. We need this, fellas. So please listen up. And ladies, what we're going to talk about, it applies to every believer's life. So I encourage you, listen in. Okay? Listen in as well. Now, first, as we read in this passage, a real man is strong in the faith. What's it say? Stand fast in the faith. That means plant your feet in the truth, in the faith, what we believe. Paul's challenging us, don't allow ourselves to be moved away from what you believe, the faith. Well, a question to go along with that is, what do you believe? What do you believe? Obviously, the Apostle Paul's talking about a biblical faith. The faith as given to us through the Word of God. So the question, a second question. Do you have a Bible-based or a world-based system of belief? Or do you have some kind of a hybrid of the two? It's dangerous. It's dangerous. How much are we allowing the world to influence our belief system? The faith that we claim. A real man strong in the faith. Paul doesn't say, stand fast in man's wisdom. Beloved, my own wisdom comes up short every time. I desperately need to base what I believe on the wisdom of God from His Word. What does He say? Now, I'm going to make the next statement here is an obvious one. That real man who is strong in the faith is a saved man. He is someone that has received Jesus Christ as their Savior. One who has Christ as the Lord of their life. This is a man then that has the potential to be strong in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. You can't do that unless you know the Lord. It's impossible for a lost man to stand fast in the faith. Do you follow that? The first step is to know Christ, to know God, before you can stand for God and in His truth. He's a saved man. To be a real man, you've got to be right with God, made right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Creator. He designed us to be in a right relationship with Him. And that right relationship with Him comes in and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as that one who delivered us from our sins. He's a saved man, but he's also a man that is strong in the Lord. Oh, we need men that are strong in the Lord. What does he say? Finally, my brethren, as Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So important here. And we'll see a little bit more of this as we go along. But, hey, a real man knows how to lean on God. He leans on his God. Flip over to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 12. Read just a few verses here. Someone may protest. Oh, a real man doesn't lean on other things or on other people. Oh, really? What does the Apostle Paul have to say? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we begin reading there in verse 7. And Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul's saying that so I don't get lifted up in pride. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, in response to that, says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, he says, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. His strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness. Men, it's a lie from the pit of hell that many are convinced that I've got to be my own strength. Can't depend on anyone or anything else. And that's, a deception of the devil. And that's what Satan, the devil, wants you to think. Because then you're an easy prey. A real man recognizes his weaknesses, recognizes his infirmity, as the Apostle Paul did. And what does he do? He finds his strength in God. He finds his wisdom in God. And that man then is ready to walk with God. Yes, a real man walks with God. I love this. You know, we don't read a whole lot about the man Enoch. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says this. It says, by faith, by faith, believing in God, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, the question, just how was it that Enoch pleased God? How did he please God? Well, we find out as we go back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis in chapter 5. There we have this excerpt that describes this man's Enoch's life. In Genesis 5, in verse 21, beginning there, we read this. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So he lived 365 years. But then what? Well, we read in verse 23. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What do we find out about Enoch? God took him. Rather than experiencing physical death, God took him to be with himself. You say, explain that. I'll tell you someday when I get to glory. Twice in those four verses there in Genesis, it says this: Enoch walked with God. What pleased God? A man that walked with him. Men, should we desire to walk with God? Amen. Do we desire to please God? Amen. Then we should walk with him. He walks with God. Well, we also see that a real man is vigilant. Back in our passage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says, watch ye. Watch ye. The idea that those words just mean to be cautious. To be cautious. To be on your guard. It's important. It's important to be vigilant, to be watchful. And in that, we see that vigilance that we are to have. But men, now listen to this. Now we're going to look at this in a couple ways. But a real man is on the lookout for his family. He's on the watch for his family and his husbands as fathers. We must not allow we must not allow the permissiveness of this world to penetrate and corrupt, to defile our homes and our lives. Satan wants to do that. I'm going to keep reminding of us that he wants us to let down, to not be watchful. It's okay, everything's fine. But you better watch out. That's the most dangerous place you can be. We must not become spiritually careless. We must be alert as to what's going on in your life and in your families. In fact, we need to start right there with our own lives. In my life and in your life, we must not allow things to creep into our lives that will weaken us and draw us away from the Lord. And that will indeed mean that there'll be things that others do that we cannot. You'll choose not to be involved in some things that others think are okay. Why? Being careful for the Lord. I wish I could get this message across to every husband, every father, mothers as well. We need to be vigilant, starting right here in our own lives. Saying no to the things of the world, no to the things that Satan is constantly bringing things before us to try to draw us away from that standard of truth, that standard of holiness and godliness and a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to say no. But it also, we have to be vigilant for our homes. Men, I plead with you. I beg you, be vigilant for the lives of your family. Men, God is going to hold us responsible and accountable for our home. Huh? Absolutely. That just goes with the territory. That's what the place that God gave to us. Praise God for those ladies that are taking up the slack. Praise God for those ladies that are there teaching and training their children in the things of God. But men, it's your responsibility to see to it that your family is brought up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Not the world's admonition. Huh? Certainly not the school's admonition in these days. Lord have mercy. It's another subject for another day. Dad, listen to me. You're responsible to be a father, not a buddy. Do you understand what I mean? You're responsible to be a father, not just a buddy to your children. Hey, you have to learn to use the word no at times. Ah, say no to my... Yes. Absolutely. It won't scar them for life. It'll prepare them for a world that seeks to destroy them. You need to protect them. Listen to me. There's times you need to protect your children from themselves. Remember, they're children. They're to be parented. I know that's a revolutionary thought in our day. You need to protect them even from themselves. We need to watch over them carefully, protecting them from the influence, yes, of the world and once again of the devil. What's the instruction? Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. But then as well, a real man shows himself a man. What does it say there? Still in verse 13? It says, quit you like men. Be strong. Quit you like men. And we need to bravely in this world be a man. I know the world doesn't like it. So what? Who cares? Who cares what the world likes? Quit you like men. That's the theme of this message really today. The idea of those words, quit you like men, simply mean act manly. Show yourself a man. The words mean manifest manhood. These young people need to see what men are. They're not going to see it out there in this world. They're not going to see it in the government schools. They're certainly not going to see it at the university these days. Unless it's TTU. Little plug. bravely be a man. Have God's strength. It says, be strong. And the idea of that word be strong means be strengthened. Paul's not saying, muster up your strength. Yeah. No, he's not saying that at all. Huh? What he's saying is you need to be strengthened of God. You need God's strength, not your strength. Oh, yes. Trying to move along here. A real man, yes, shows himself a man. Isn't it sad that that's a revolutionary thought in our day? Isn't that sad? I mean, that should be the obvious. But here we are. And I'm still not afraid to declare it. I don't care what the world says. A real man shows himself a man. A real man, though, beyond all that, a real man is loving. Yes. What's verse 14 say? Let all your things be done with charity. With charity. Everything. What's it? What? How many things? All your things. Everything we do should be characterized by a Christ-like love. What's the description of love in the Bible? Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus if you want to understand what love is. 1 Corinthians 13 is a description of Christ's love, how he loved. If you want to understand love, look to Christ. It's epitomized by him. As well, being loving does not mean, dear ones, that you're a weakling. Doesn't mean that you're a pushover. The two things are not mutually exclusive of each other. Not at all. As a leader within our homes, we must be unmovable. Stand fast, right? Unmovable in the things of God, but still operate in a spirit of love. Doesn't mean we have to be ogres or belligerent. But it does mean that we operate in a spirit of love with charity. As a leader within our homes, we've got to take that stand, but also love with all our hearts. Does that sound impossible? Well, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our example, but he's also our ability. Do we follow that? He gives us himself as our example, but he also tells us, be strengthened in me. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's the strength we need. Yes. But then we're moving on here. I told you it's going to be bing, bing, bing. Fifthly, a real man controls his mouth. Got really quiet. I guess everybody's controlling their mouth. Turn with me. Flip over a few pages to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Paul writing there in this, what we often call the love chapter. But in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, it says this. Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When I became a man, he put away childish things. What's he saying? These things that he put away were childish. Let's look at that. Number one, a real man controls his mouth. Paul's contrasting here childishness. He's contrasting a child to a man. How does a child speak? Now again, just going through this. A child, you know this, a child is often cruel. in what they say. They can say some pretty cruel things.
A child is often unguarded in what they say. If they think it, they say it. A child is inexperienced in what they say. We'll look at this a little bit as we go. A child...
Listen, young people.
A child, especially teenagers, know everything.
Amen.
All the parents of teenagers back there are smiling. They don't yet know what they don't know. Is that right? They don't even know what they don't know. Sorry, kids.
One thing I do know is that the older I get, the more I realize I don't know.
A child is limited in their vocabulary. I don't know how smart they are. They're still limited in their vocabulary. But look at these. Again, a real man controls his mouth. Notice it's past tense. When I was a child, I spake as a child. So what's Paul saying? Now that I'm a man, I don't speak as a child anymore. Secondly, he says a real man is mature. Notice he says, I understood as a child. I understood as a child. And notice again, it's past tense. When we become a man, we put away what? Childish things. That word means to think in a certain way. Understood. To think in a certain way. And in this case, it's the idea of thinking like a child thinks. I've got some thoughts there, but I'm going to keep them to myself. A real man doesn't have the understanding of a child. A child is selfish. Focused on number one. For a child, the world revolves around them. But a godly-minded man has matured past that, where the needs of others are put before himself. He no longer understands as a child. He's grown beyond that. But also, a real man is discerning. What does it also say? I thought as a child. I understood as a child. By my experience, the things in this world, a child understands as a child. His experience. But he's also, a real man is discerning. He doesn't think like a child anymore. The basic meaning of that word means that just how he reasons things, how he reckons things out. And this tells us, beloved, that a mature man, this is tough for us guys, a mature man takes in the facts, doesn't make snap judgments, he thinks things through, and he examines things biblically. Now listen to me, man. As we make decisions, we're accountable to make decisions biblically. What does God's word say about this or that that I'm trying to sort out? Apply the wisdom. Apply God's wisdom. But also we understand that to no longer think as a child means that we're not impulsive. Do you hear me, guys? Not impulsive. A lot of men are just simply a collection of impulses. We operate on whatever's going on at the moment. We're sort of, I've been called this, a stomach with legs. You know, our desires, our hungers. A stomach with legs. An example would be even this impulsiveness is impulse buying. I didn't like it a bit, but I read a study that they found that men were worse impulse buyers than women. I think it was women that did the study. important thing, he's not impulsive. And he's not reactionary. A real man is not reactionary. And that means the idea of being a reactionary simply means that he acts back. You take a swing at me, I'm swinging back. You're nice and I'll be nice. That's reactionary. We need to learn how to act rather than to react. Do you follow me? I struggle with this. I think most of us do. To act rather than simply react. Rather than simply reacting to situations and whatever comes up. Well, as men, especially those men who belong to, men who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, men, we need to find our pattern, our model, not in this world, but in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. To emulate Him with everything we are. Most of all, as we would look through, try to, so quickly, we could have a message on every one of those points. They're a message in themselves. We need to be men like Jesus. You need a pattern? Pattern your life after Christ. Pattern your life after. Allow Him to imprint Himself upon us and upon our lives. You know the verse. That such a familiar verse from Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Where it says, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son. To have the image of His Son imprinted on us. Yes, men. Yes, ladies. Should be our desire. So then, men, when our families, when our wives and our children look to us for leadership, first of all, I pray that they would do that, be able to do that. But when they look to us for leadership, for an example, when they look to us for advice, what do they need? They need to hear from and see Jesus Christ. Need to see Him. Friend, it'll be impossible. That's impossible if you don't know Jesus. Very first point we made. That is I know this, you might not follow this immediately, but a real man is a saved man. A real man is a lost man is not a complete man. He's not complete.
That's right.
Because he doesn't have Christ.
Yeah.
When we're saved, Christ completes us.
Yeah.
He restores that which we lost in sin. So a real man's a saved man. And it's impossible to be a real man without Christ. Oh my. Isn't it something as I'm making some of these statements. Maybe you're thinking the same thing. But as I make some of these statements, I think about how the world hates those statements. Doesn't it? It hates a statement like a real man is a Christian man. The world hates such a statement. Who do you think you are for saying such a thing? Why? Let's think I'm someone that believes what this Bible says. I'm nothing but someone that's trying to reveal what God tells us. It's very obvious that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if He does not have a home in your heart and life, then you're not a real man. You're not a complete man. Christian men, I'm talking to you today. Fathers, don't be deceived into believing that because your children are your children, that they can't get in trouble.
Yeah.
That it's impossible for them to end up in, oh, who knows what, trouble or sin. Don't get the idea that they cannot be caught in Satan's snare.
Yeah.
The devil, hey, we said this a while ago. The devil wants you to believe that. Why? Because it makes you and your family an easy target. Because you're not being watchful. You're not being vigilant. You're not being careful. You're not in implementing biblical truth in your life. And in your children's lives. You're not surrounding them in an atmosphere, enveloping them in an atmosphere of biblical truth. Satan wants you to ignore such things. He wants your kid. The devil wants you to believe it. Makes it easier for him. Beloved, understand, it is possible for your children to get involved in any sin. Why? Why you say that, preacher? You're going to love this. Because they're your children. They're made out of the same stuff you are. Flesh and blood. And because they're our children, they're capable of any sin I'm capable of. Now think about that. Don't delude yourself. Huh? We're all capable of falling desperately. And so it is essential for me as a father, a grandfather, and for every father present to be vigilant for our homes and our families, protecting our families. What does Paul say? Watching. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. With charity. God help us. Be men. Be godly men. Let's stand together. Father, I plead with you. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus. We've unloaded a lot of principles, a lot of truths here in a very short time. And I'm asking you, Father, that you would sow truth to our hearts. Yes, for the men present, but also for our ladies, for the moms that are here. God, I'm asking you, Father, please help us to be those Christian examples for our children, for our community, and for this world. Oh, God, please. Thank you for a church family. Thank you for a church that understands the importance of the Word of God and the place it should have in each and every one of our lives. Lord, you know the frailties and the weaknesses of this preacher. Lord, I'm praying, oh God, I pray you'd make me a better man for you. Help us, Father, to be not afraid to stand for biblical truth. To not be afraid to stand fast in the faith. To be strong for you. And Lord, oh God, help us not to forget to love as the Lord Jesus Christ loved. And Lord, again, I don't know that there might be some in this room at this very moment don't have that peace in their heart where they'll spend eternity. Lord, help, I plead with you, help them to see Jesus, His great love for them, that He died for them to pay the price of their sin. Oh God, please. We ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 201.
Beloved, as we sing, I encourage you. These altars are open, of course, for all of us. Whether you come to the altar or not, I beg you in Jesus' name, help us, that God would help us. Pray that God would help us to be the Christians we ought to be. The men of God that He would have us to be. As we sing, might the Lord deal with our hearts.
Lord. His word, holding communion with
can be seated, church family. Got a little business to take care of. Let's take care of Miss Frances first here. Frances has come this morning. She's been visiting in Metropolitan for a while. And you said you were saved in El Paso?
No, Eric? Smithfield.
Smithfield, I'm sorry.
Yeah. When I was Amen. 9.
9 years old. I said
that's a long time ago.
Praise the Lord when you get saved as a child. Amen. And she was baptized there. She's been a member at Rosen Heights Baptist Church. But she's coming this morning on her statement of faith and salvation in Christ and her baptism in a church of like faith and practice, church family. And so all in favor of receiving Frances Luna's testimony of salvation and her baptism and her desire to become a member of Metropolitan Baptist Church, spell all that out, say amen.
Amen.
Or pray and oppose the same sign, and so ordered. Lord bless you, sister.
Thank you.
So good to have you, and you stay here handy. I got a couple more to take care of here. This is Ed and Edgar, actually. We just go by Ed, though. Ed and Christina Smith. And they're coming this morning and presenting themselves for membership here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. And they've been visiting quite a while. And Ed, you were saved at 12 years old.
12 years old, 1949, accepted Christ.
1949, that's a couple of years before I was born. And you were baptized at Riverside Baptist Church. And church doesn't even exist then. I'm sorry, sir?
Dr. Judson Prince.
The pastor was Dr. Judson Prince at the time. Amen. And Christina, you do know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yes.
And she's presenting herself for baptism.
Amen.
And we're going to have baptism next Sunday. If you haven't got rid of me quite yet, I get to baptize one more. And she's presenting herself for baptism, and we will do that next Sunday. And it's your desire to become members of Metropolitan Baptist Church.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, church family, on their profession of faith and Miss Christina's desire for baptism, all in favor of receiving them into the membership of Metropolitan Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And oppose the same sign, and so ordered. What I'm going to ask, Bob and Erna, would you stand with me? I don't want Miss Frances to be standing up here by herself. Okay, and church family, please come by here and welcome. In fact, Miss Judy was invited Frances to the. They met at the mailbox. I think is that how it went? Praise the Lord, Amen, my sister. Praise Amen. The Lord.
Y'all could be seated because we'll have a video presentation here before the end of the service.
I didn't know this. I guess we got to sit down for a moment. Surprise, surprise. Where's my wife? Should I? Can you say after that? Thank you so much for 11 years. I told Alan the other day, Alan Webster, these days are the hardest days of my life. I think when we leave, I'm going to leave in the middle of the night. To say goodbye to you all is going to be the hardest thing we've ever done. Lots of Kleenexes. And thank you. That's enough. Let's stand and welcome these ones into the church family. Amen. Amen.
Let's sing our choruses. We're just going to say
up from the grave. Up from the grave he arose, with the mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a